Turning in your Bibles tonight to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to read beginning at verse 38. And Elisha came to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land. And the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said unto his servant, Set on the great pot, and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, Then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot, and he said, Pour out for the people, that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we ask you to bless our study of your word tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Recently, as we were thinking about the message of Easter, we looked at four of the eight resurrections that we find here in the Word of God. Two of those resurrections involved Elisha. One involved him directly. The raising of the son of the Shunammite woman here in this chapter. And the other one involved Elisha indirectly. It took place at his grave when a man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha and he revived and stood up on his feet. Elisha is one of the most interesting people in the Bible. And one of the things that makes him so interesting is the way that the Spirit of God presents the accounts of some of the little things that took place in his ministry. Like the healing of the waters at Jericho. Or the cursing of the children who came out and mocked him. You remember that these little children came out and they said to Elisha, Go up. Thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. Now, how old these children were, we don't know. But they were old enough to go out of the city by themselves. And they were old enough to make fun of Elisha's baldness. And they were old enough to have rejected the message of Elijah's rapture into heaven. That's why they were telling Elisha, go up. Even though Elijah's rapture into heaven was apparently witnessed by 50 people. These children, whatever age they were not childlike. They were childish. Childish rebels against God. Willingly ignorant of the truth of Elijah's being called up to heaven. Just like the childish scoffers of our day. Who are willingly ignorant. And mock God's people and say, Where is the promise of his coming? Oh, you're going up? Well, go up. Go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. If hair is a symbol of glory, and it is one of the symbols of hair in the Bible. If hair is a symbol of glory, then the lack of hair or baldness would indicate the lack of glory. Folks, we may appear bald to the world. We may appear without glory to the people of this world. But God says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. for we shall see him as he is. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We may look bald to the children of this world now, and they mock and scoff as they walk after their own lust and ask, where's the promise of his coming? But the day of the Lord is going to come, and the childish children of this world will be torn by the judgment of God, just as those two she-bears that came out of the woods tore 42 of those children. Another little account from the life of Elisha is the increase of the widow's oil. That little account has a very great, a very fond memory. It's a great blessing every time I think about it. In 1987, we were living in Lancaster, South Carolina. We knew the Lord wanted us up here, but fear and faith were running neck and neck with each other. We were trying to figure out how we were going to financially do the things we needed to do. And I came home every day at lunch from work, and one particular day I came in and Gail says, I've got the answer. I said, okay, great. Where'd you get it? The Bible. Okay, where'd you find it in the Bible? 2 Kings 4:2. I'll read it to you. She read it to me. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? Those words, what hast thou in the house, struck Gail. And I would just say those words struck our house too. Because she called an auction man who was in the auction business that we knew. We'd gotten to know him a couple of years earlier. And he came in, and the things that were in the house, some of them probably needed to stay in the house, but out the door they went. So I think about that little incident every time I read that verse. What hast thou in the house? Then there's the feeding of 100 men with food left over after they had finished eating. Or the barred axe head that the man lost and it needed to be recovered. And that axe head swam so that the man could get it back. But even though these are brief accounts, the Spirit of God packs them full of spiritual lessons that we need to think about. And this one that we've just read is no exception. Elisha, as we see in verse 38, comes to Gilgal again. He had been there with Elijah on the day that Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And so here in chapter 4, apparently after he leaves Shunem, he comes again to Gilgal. And he comes there at a time when there was a dearth, when there was a famine in the land. And as we see in verse 38, Elisha was meeting with the sons of the prophets. The sons of the prophets were an organized body of men, apparently. An organized body of believers, if you will. The first time that we read anything about them is in 1 Samuel chapter 10 at the anointing of Saul to be king. And there Samuel refers to them as a company of prophets. And because Samuel refers to them in this way, many who study the Bible believe that Samuel organized this group and trained them. And this is where the term that's often used, though it is not in the Bible, but this is where the term the schools of the prophets comes from. And as we see there in 1 Samuel chapter 10, they were men with musical ability. There were four instruments mentioned there in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 5 that they played: the psaltery, the tablet, the pipe, and the harp. And these sons of the prophets had the ability to prophesy. There were times when God would bring these men under the influence of His Spirit so that they could receive and give to God's people the message that the Lord wanted them to have. The sons of the prophets, I think as we talked recently, were no doubt among the 7,000 in Israel that the Lord told Elijah about, who had not bowed unto Baal, and their mouths had not kissed Baal. Their numbers had certainly been reduced by the persecution of Jezebel. We read in 1 Kings chapter 18 about Obadiah, who was the governor of Ahab's house. And he tells Elijah that when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, when she killed them, he took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them there. And after the Lord tells Elijah about the 7,000 in Israel, this is when we begin to read about these sons of the prophets. After the great victory on Mount Carmel, the Lord brings them out. And there were groups of them in different towns. They were in Bethel. They were in Jericho. And as we see here, they were in Gilgal. And the picture that the Spirit of God paints here in verse 38 is of a meeting. The sons of the prophets were sitting before Elisha as students would sit before a teacher. Perhaps maybe Elisha went in circuit to these different cities to teach these sons of the prophets. And at some point here, Elisha says to his servant, "Set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets." Elisha has been ministering to their spiritual needs. Now he's going to minister to their physical needs. He's going to have his servant put on and boil or cook. That's what the word seethe means. A pot of soup. That's what pottage is. And we see in verse 39 that one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds his lap full and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, "O thou man of God, there is death in the pot." And they could not eat thereof. But he said, "Then bring meal." And he cast it into the pot, and he said, "Pour out for the people, that they may eat." And there was no harm in the pot. Something that Pastor Kelly taught us over the years that he taught and pastored here, preached, is that when we read a portion of Scripture like this, and we wonder why it's here in the record, Why is it here in the record of the Word of God? What does it mean? How do we understand it? Well, one of the ways he said to understand it and to see the message in it is to put the Lord Jesus Christ right in the middle of it, so that we can see Him, so that we can see ourselves. And then as we see Him, we can see Him in all of His love for us, the love that He demonstrated on the cross of Calvary. And that's what we want to see here. We can see ourselves in verse 39. Notice that we're talking there about a wild vine. A wild vine. A wild vine that produces a poison gourd. A wild vine whose fruit is only death. Now keep your place here, and we want to look back at a passage that ties, I believe, this wild vine and ties its poison directly to us. Look back at Deuteronomy chapter 32, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Here in this chapter, we have another song of Moses. Another song of Moses. And notice, we want to just look in on some of the words of the song, beginning in verse 31. "For their rock is not as our rock, You notice that the word rock there is in capital letters. And so, in contrast to their rock, we're talking about the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine, we're reading here about the enemies of God. Those whose rock is not the rock of ages. Their foundation is not the rock of ages. Those whose vine is not the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to the description of the vine of the enemies of God. And as we hear it, I want us to remember that it is a description of us by nature. We're the enemies of God. That's who we're reading about here. Paul describes us in Colossians 1 and verse 21 as those who are alienated from God and enemies in our mind by wicked works. And so when we're reading about this vine here, we're reading about ourselves. And Moses says, for their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. We don't like that comparison, do we? Why? Because their sin was homosexuality. And we immediately say, I'm not a homosexual. Folks, homosexuality was not the only sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. Pride was one of their sins. They were haughty and arrogant. And they committed abomination before the Lord. The abomination of homosexuality. That's not the only abomination that we find in the Bible. In Proverbs chapter 6, there's some verses there that we ought to think about from time to time. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And here they are. A proud look. Ever had a proud look? A lying tongue. You ever had a lying tongue? Hands that shed innocent blood. I haven't killed anybody. We kill the Lord of glory. We kill the Lord of glory. Our hands shed his innocent blood. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 says that every imagination of the thoughts of our heart are only evil continually. And when you combine that with Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Then we indeed have an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Write your thoughts down one day until you're sickened by them and the wicked imaginations that you would have to write down. We have feet that be swift in running to mischief. We're false witnesses that speak lies. We're those that sow discord among brethren. Those are the seven things that are an abomination unto God. Folks, we're guilty of all seven of these things. And what that means is that we have committed abomination before God, just like Sodom and Gomorrah did. And so what we're reading here is true of us. We're reading about our vine. Our vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. And notice carefully the words that describe the fruit of our vine. Verse 32. Verse 33. Their wine. That's another word that describes the fruit of our vine. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. An asp is a poisonous serpent. So think about these words. Sodom, Gomorrah, gall, bitter, poison, venom. All of them describe our wild vine, what we are. Now, with that in mind, let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 4. There's death in the pot here because of the fruit of the vine that was brought, this wild vine. And just as there is death in the pot here, there's death in this pot. There's death in this pot of clay. And the only way for us to be saved, the only way that there could ever be life in this pot, is for meal to be poured into it. And folks, that's where the Lord Jesus Christ and His death on the cross of Calvary come into this passage. The Lord Jesus is the meal here. He's the flour. That's what the word meal means. It's instructive that the Lord Jesus referred to Himself in John chapter 12 and verse 24 as a corn of wheat. Wheat is where meal, wheat is where flour comes from. There's something very interesting about the word that the Spirit of God uses here for meal. It's word number 7058 in your Hebrew dictionary of your Strong's Concordance. And it means meal. It means flour. But in looking this word up, there was something else that caught my eye. It says that this Hebrew word comes from an unused root, probably meaning to grind. Probably meaning to grind. Flour and meal is made by grinding wheat. And so this word here further puts the cross before us. Because on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ was ground. He was ground like fine meal under the judgment of God for our sins. He took our pride. He took our haughtiness. He took our arrogance. He took all of the abomination that we are. He took the gall and the bitterness and the poison and the venom of our sin. Or to say it another way, the Lord Jesus took the fruit. He took the wild gourd of our wild vine upon Himself. Isn't that what Peter said? Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. And there on Calvary's cross, God made Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. He ground His only begotten Son as He ground and sifted Him with the judgment that we deserve. And because of that, when we see ourselves as God sees us, when we taste of all that we are by nature, and we cry out to God in repentance and faith, O thou man of God, there is death in this pot. There's death in here. There's no life. And when we come to the Lord Jesus in that frame and state of mind and that attitude of heart, then He says, as Elisha says here, remember Elisha's name means God is salvation. His name means God, it means God saves. He's the only one who can. And when we cry out in repentance and faith, O thou man of God, there's death in the pot. The Lord Jesus says, then bring meal. Then bring meal. And the Lord casts that life-giving meal, His very self, into this pot. And we pass from death unto life. And we who were dead in trespasses and sins are made alive in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Do you know Him as your Savior tonight? Have you seen yourself as a sinner? Have you seen yourself as God sees you? Have you tasted of the fruit of your own vine? Some of us had to taste it for a long time. Some of us kept tasting it and tasting it. And we thought, it's going to get better. But it only got worse as our rebellion deepened and widened. When you see yourself as a sinner and you cry out to the Lord, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He saves us. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But what about after we're saved? Well, the way that we are to live the Christian life is right here in verse 41. But he said, that's Elisha, then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot, and he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. Notice that Elisha does not say, before we can eat anything out of this pot, we've got to get this wild vine and its fruit. We've got to get this wild poison gourd out of the pot. He doesn't say that. And there's a reason for that. When we get saved, we do not lose this wild vine or its fruit. This wild gourd out of this pot. This pot, this old nature, we still have it. And we will have this old poisonous nature until the day we die. But what does happen when we get saved is that we receive the meal, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the verses that we've been bumping into a lot lately, and I'm amazed in the course of our studies of the Bible, how often we run into this verse. And we're going to bump into it again tonight. Colossians 2:6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Now how did we receive Christ Jesus the Lord? We cried out, O thou man of God, there's death in the pot. That's how we receive Christ Jesus the Lord. And that's how we're to walk in Him every day. Every moment of every day, we're to cry out, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And we say that because in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth a few good things, some good things, no good thing. There's still death in the pot. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's the meal poured into this pot of death daily. Daily. Brother Gary was talking about this Sunday night. If you weren't here Sunday night, I would really encourage you to go and go back to sermon audio and listen to that message on attaining the resurrection. This is what we're talking about tonight. There's the meal, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's poured into this pot of death daily. And now, our life can be poured out. That's what Elisha commanded in verse 41. But he said, then bring meal, and he cast it into the pot, and he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. You know why, when there's harm in this pot? When I head out of the house first thing in the morning and I put no meal in here. This pot of poison is going to bubble like a cauldron. And pity the person who comes by and has to take a drink out of it. They're going to taste the poison that's there. The only way that there can be no harm in this pot is for me to be dead. And the only way for me to be dead is to put the meal in. Every morning. And I wish it was just, I could just do it when I head out of the house in the morning and not have to do it anymore during the day. It has to be done all through the day. It has to be done all through the day. And then our life can be poured out. Poured out for the people around us. Poured out in a way that will be a blessing. Poured out in a way that will be a help to them in their life. A conviction to them if they're lost. A help to them if they're saved. Pour out for the people. That's what the Lord wants for us. He wants us to be poured out as a living sacrifice. So that the people around us can taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good. Because He took this poor, wretched, hell-deserving sinner. He took that pot of poison. And He's done a work there to where there's no harm in it anymore. That's how our life can be a blessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in these little accounts like this from the life of Elisha that we learn the lessons that we find plainly stated there in the New Testament. May the Lord help us to think about these things, to think about the meal, to add it. Every moment of every day, that meal, to deal with this pot that's full of poison. Father, we thank You for Your precious word. We thank You for the little accounts from Elisha's life. We didn't have time to look at just one tonight, but what great depth there is to it. Father, we pray that there is anyone here tonight who is lost, that they might see that we've been reading about the fruit of their vine, their wild vine. This vine that brings forth fruit that is death. And we pray that tonight they might cry out to the man Christ Jesus. That He might add the meal. Oh, He delights to do that. Add the meal. Give them life. And Father, if we know You, we pray that we might add that meal every day, every moment of every day, that we might be a blessing to the people around us. Great need for that in this hour. Great need for that among the people of God. Help us not to take our brothers and sisters in Christ for granted. We pray that You would help us to have a love for each other. And help us to be an encouragement to each other in these days. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.